I get to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just verses 12 and 13. Hear the word of God. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, will you? Heavenly Father, thank you that you have brought us to this place. Thank you that you are active in our lives. Help us turn to you in all things. Help us ask you for help. May we rejoice in you. May we turn things over to you that need we should, which, Lord, is everything. May we keep back no part of our lives for your transformation. Father, we've gathered here to hear your word. We've gathered here to be in your presence and to worship you. And I would ask that nothing would get in the way of that. Not a different sort of service or loud motorcycles or the things that are coming after their service today or the things that came before. Father, I pray that we would be devoted entirely to you, entirely to your word and to hearing your word. I ask a wisdom on the preaching. I ask a hunger in all of our hearts that we would, even though we're being filled with your word, that we would still hunger to be in your presence constantly. Be with us, Lord. We dedicate this time to you as we should all our time. Be with us now. May your Holy Spirit be here to enlighten our hearts and our minds and be in your presence. In Jesus' name, I ask. Amen. Well, as you know, not a surprise, I'm just all excited. I'm always excited about a baptism, not only because it's a field trip and we get to go someplace else down the road, and not only because we get to come back here and have a carrot cake with cream cheese frosting. Not only. The primary thing, of course, is because it's a big moment in the life of the church. It's a big moment in the life of any human. It's a big moment in the kingdom of God because God smiles when one comes to him. Indeed. Christians, well, I should say Protestants, participate in two God-ordained sacraments that celebrate what God has done for us. Quick quiz, what are they?
Baptism and communion.
Hot diggity. Extra piece of cake for the lady. Exactly right. Baptism and communion. Communion is celebrated on a regular basis. In fact, we'll be celebrating it next week. Baptism is a one-time declaration of a lifetime of devotion to God, isn't it? It's that moment wherein someone leaves an old way of life and becomes different and new. And God begins a transformation process in them. He already has transformed them. But now, it's even more. Baptism is something that's called an ordinance. I know. If you're a property owner, an ordinance is a bad thing because it means you don't get to do things to your house. I understand this. With God, it is not so. An ordinance, it means that the Lord Jesus commanded it. He planned it. It's God-ordained. The word ordinance comes from the phrase, he ordained it. And the word ordain comes from the Latin word that means to set apart. Does that sound familiar? It should, because that's basically what holy means. To be set apart in baptism. That's what people are. They're baptized and you're set apart from the world. You're supposed to be different. You have different goals and values and systems and purpose in life. Oh, It's so easy. If only. Certainly couldn't do it without the Lord, without the Holy Spirit's prompting, could we? I can't even come close without that. So baptism, in other words, sets you apart for some special work, for some purpose, God's purpose. The human mind explaining baptism, I've seen it described this way. You all know what a harmonica is. The human mind explaining baptism is kind of like a harmonica playing Beethoven. You can kind of get the notes, but the music's just too majestic for the instrument. Maybe if you had like a harmonica orchestra, but I don't think that would work so well either. Any words on baptism, including these, must be seen as human efforts to understand a holy event, an event that God makes happen, that the Holy Spirit boots into your life. It's interesting. Our danger in thinking about baptism is to swing to one of two extremes, typically. That's historic, too. It's not just now. We make baptism either something too important or too ordinary and unimportant. God will not be simplified that way. Baptism at once reveals the beauty of the cross and the darkness of sin. It reveals the beauty of resurrection and the terror of death without God. Just like a diamond has many facets, you've seen diamonds and they just sparkle. They have all these facets that catch the light in different ways. Baptism has many sides. Clearly, the water represents some kind of a cleansing agent. I know, we're going to be in the Delaware River. Work with me. No matter what the Delaware River looks like, it's a cleansing. It's representative of a cleansing agent. When you're dunked under, also, another thing is when you're dunked under, it's sort of a burial. And indeed, if you breathed while you're down there, things would go badly. Take note. And the worst thing is, well, no, the worst thing isn't that you wouldn't get cake, but you probably wouldn't. It wouldn't go well. In that water, you have a control. You could just stand up. In death, not so much. After being under, baptism then gives a taste of resurrection. I pull you back up. Probably. In the real resurrection, Jesus pulls you up. I'm a pretty sad parallel, but I'm what you get. In the real resurrection, you get the real deal then. In baptism, we see the death of the old, and we see the birth of the new. The baptismal burial signifies also that we're willing to die to sin and die to the things of this world, to die to self, and that we're confident that we will be made alive again because of what Jesus Christ has done. Wow. Baptism is also called a seal. So it, in a sense, it seals the salvation. It unites us to Him in a way. And it unites us clearly to His church. Christ's death becomes my death. Christ's resurrection becomes my resurrection, as I was just saying. Baptized now are part of a group of the dedicated. Those people, since Christ, who have come to the church, who have come to Christ. We saw that some in the reading from 1 Corinthians. That one body we are baptized into, it's the church, it's us, we're part of it. The family of believers. We're baptized into using gifts. It doesn't matter, as the scripture says in this part, it doesn't matter what you were before. Doesn't matter. Jew, Greek, doesn't matter. Hottentot, whatever you are. Slave, free, and in We're told, of course, that we were all slaves before Christ gets us. And now we're slaves to Christ. Interesting thought. There's going to be more on this bit next week. Y'all come back. So just as the diamond, that diamond doesn't is just a stone. It doesn't have a light in it. Baptism itself hasn't a real inherent power. But just as a stone refracts the light into many colors, baptism reveals these different aspects of God and God's grace. And it's not something that can be instantly perceived or understood. It's something that, frankly, the Holy Spirit gives each of us to a different degree at different times. Once a person admits sin and turns to Christ for salvation, repentance, that's called repentance, turns away, the change is not only inside, is it? People don't keep acting the same way they always did and say, hey, I'm a Christian, but got a bank to rob. It makes sense that some physical step must be taken. Physical steps are taken to change the old. That's on our part too. God does amazing things, but we are supposed to do things too, based on the prompting and power of the Holy Spirit. So it makes sense that some physical step must be taken to proclaim to heaven and to earth, you, that we are followers of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? This is not just an inside thing, and it's not what the world would have you believe that says, oh, that's nice, you have faith, you know, you keep that at home. Don't bring that anywhere else. Is that what Christianity is? No. 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 Christianity is something that we take with us all the time, everywhere, every place, in everything. I don't know about you, that can be hard. Baptism is the initial step of obedience by a person who's declared faith in Jesus Christ. It's a response to salvation offered, not our act that obliges God. It's not some slick, canny business deal to get the one up on God and now he owes me. No. This is more important than some church event. It's more important than even something for a good show. It's more important than even a good piece of cake. It is. This is eternal. This is now. It's forever. Interesting stuff. It's so important was that step that, as far as we know, every single convert in the New Testament was baptized, with the exception of the thief on the cross. He was a little indisposed at the time. There is no example of an unbaptized believer. Now, the conversion of this thief on the cross, if you get too dogmatic about it, these are the people who say that it's way, way, way too important. Those are those people. And those are the people who think that baptism is too important, don't understand how the thief on the cross can be baptized, can be saved. But Jesus can do whatever he wants. He knows the heart. He knows the big picture. He knows who you are and what you think and how you will be once you deliver yourself to Christ. So one other thing, baptism, as I say, is more than just a church event. It's more than what we see. It is a vow. It's a serious, lifelong commitment of the believer to follow Jesus Christ. It's kind of like a wedding. In fact, that simile is used frequently in the New Testament that, you know, the bride of Christ and is the church. A baptism is a vow, a serious lifelong commitment of a believer to follow Christ. Just like the wedding celebrates the fusion of two hearts and a commitment for an everlasting life together, baptism celebrates the union of a sinner and a Savior. Isn't that interesting? A willing believer when a willing believer enters the waters of baptism, does he or she know all the implications of that vow? Well, let's go back to the wedding simile. Do they know everything they're going to get into? No. Not half. When a willing believer enters the waters of baptism, it's a matter of trust and love and commitment. They don't know every temptation or challenge, every heartbreak that will come. But we do know this. We do know that the love of God is real and continuous and more powerful than any challenge we can ever meet. It's as simple as that. I've seen it written that some people call baptism the thing that separates the tire kickers from the car buyers. Kind of like that. That's kind of okay. It's one thing to say in the privacy of your heart that you're a sinner and need a Savior, and it's quite another to walk out in the shadows, walk out of the shadows and into the water of the mighty Delaware River and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe. Forgive me. I want to be yours." The beauty of being a part of this for the rest of you is that you get to be reminded of all this. You get to be reminded of what this means. You get to be reminded of the commitment and reminded and refreshed in the love of God and the ways in which He has kept you close and He will continue to. We can take a certain confidence in a baptism service and watching it, just as we can take a certain confidence in being part of it when we did. If you haven't been baptized, we have plenty of water out there, just so you know, and plenty of cake. I'll carve your name in the cake. But friends, I think what sums it up well is, for the rest of us too, some of the final words of Jesus were these: "Go and make followers of all people in all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Amen. Pray with me a moment, will you? Father, I thank you for bringing us here again. I ask that you would help us take your words with us into our lives and be reminded and refreshed in our own baptisms, however long ago that was. Be with us as we have this new journey for some. As we, even though it's kind of an old journey, the commitment's been there for a long time, but Lord, it's new and it's refreshed. I pray that you be with each of us and refresh each of us in this. I pray that you would bless this time and this congregation. Protect us. May we be in your presence and not susceptible to the slings and arrows of Satan. Lord, give us your protection. Give us a joy in being yours and serving you. These things I ask in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.